In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. What is the relationship between faith and the Christian life? Luther laments in his exposition of today's lesson from John 15 in these words: "Wherever faith is not preached and is not given primary importance, wherever we do not begin by learning how we are united with Christ and become branches in Him, all the world concentrates only on its works. On the other hand, wherever faith alone is taught, this leads to false Christians who boast of their faith, are baptized, and are counted among the Christians, but give no evidence of fruit and strength. This makes it difficult to preach to people. No matter how one preaches, things go wrong. The people always hedge." So far, Luther. This seems to be the trouble that we have in our own day, too, as we debate whether or not to preach sanctification, as we witness the publication of books like The Goal of the Gospel, recently published, and as our Lutheran understanding of Christian doctrine expressed in the Lutheran Confessions comes under a renewed assault by Reformed theology in the form of contemporary evangelicalism. Some, even in our own church, have been heard to define the gospel as the power that one receives to conquer flesh and live a holy life. Jesus addresses these same questions as he speaks to his disciples in the words of this lesson. They are, at one and the same time, as John is so inclined to do, words that are very simple and straightforward, and yet words that are very profound. "As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love." If human love is more than sentimentality and fleshly attraction, how much more so the love of God is a profound love. "The Father has loved me." Those words come from Him who is true God and true man, the divine human Christ. Here is the mystery of the personal union, the power and majesty of God Himself, which the divine Son of God possessed from eternity, is communicated to Jesus, the human, our brother. And so in Him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And we have, therefore, a Savior who is not way off in the distance and unreachable to us. And on the other hand, we have a Savior, not a Savior who is common and therefore ineffectual, but we have one who is divine and human. Says Luther, "Christ wants to say, 'My Father loves me so much that He transmits all His power and might to me.'" That's the kind of Christ that we have. Not one who is simply here to hold our hand and try to comfort us in a helpless task, but one who, on account of this, on account of this divine human nature of His, this personal union of the two natures, is able to take upon Himself the guilt of the whole world's sin and to become the propitiation for our sins, not for our sins only, but for the sins of the whole world. This brings us to the difficult words of Jesus, in which He says, "Then, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you." And then a verse or so later, "You are my friends if you do whatever I command." Are these things a contradiction of what we have just heard? Some think so. Do we become Jesus' friends, justified, righteous, pure, and holy children of God through our works of love toward others? A good tree brings forth good fruit, and a living faith also brings forth its fruits. It is utterly necessary that this be so. That doesn't mean that one can in any way compel good works or fruits by means of the law and threats. It means that it is the very nature of a living faith to bear the fruits of godliness, such as obedience, praise, and love of the neighbor. So while good works are indeed necessary, our fathers spoke very clearly when they went on to say that it is a confusion of the Christian life with Christ's work of salvation if we say then that good works are necessary to salvation. Nor should we, by way of our reaction, fall into the opposite trap into which some have fallen, to think that because this subject of good works causes us so much trouble that they themselves are detrimental to our salvation. St. Peter writes in his second epistle, "Be zealous to confirm your call." Article 20 of the Apology of the Augsburg Confession condemns the error of some who quoted Peter to support the notion that the Christian's good works will therefore merit the forgiveness of sins, saying that is what is meant by "be zealous to confirm your call." Then the Apology speaks these clear, powerful words. "By the same argument, we could say to a man who was sentenced to die and then pardoned, the magistrate commands that from now on you steal no more, and therefore you are pardoned. Such argumentation is to make the effect the cause," the Apology concludes. Faith in the redeeming merits of our Christ brings forth its fruits. It cannot and will not do otherwise. Yet those fruits are not the cause of our salvation. As we bring them forth in our lives and as in our gospel ministry, we preach faith to our hearers. May God's Holy Spirit give both us and our hearers understanding of this relationship between faith and the Christian life. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.